sometimes in our haste, we skip over remembering that. This morning, we find Jesus 40 days old, with his parents bringing him to the temple. At 8 days, he's been circumcised, and his parents have now waited for that amount of time for Mary to be purified from childbirth and to now bring an offering to the Lord. We know that they're poor because the offering that we find in the law is a lamb that needs to be brought. Interesting that they don't have a lamb, but they bring the Lamb of God. But we know they're poor because they bring the offering for someone who doesn't have the means to bring a lamb. And I just love the, I don't know if irony is the right word, but the symbolism of them bringing the Lamb of God with them as Mary is purified in the temple by the priest through the law. But at 40 days old, she is carrying the Lamb of God that will purify her of all sin, that will purify Joseph, that purifies us. And that's just amazing. So in the second chapter of Luke, beginning at the 21st verse. And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. I'm going to stop there just a minute because it's easy to kind of run over those verses because, okay, Gabriel told her to name him Jesus. You know, they're being obedient, they do it. How many of us ever think about what the meaning of that name is? It's actually a two-part name that means Yahweh saves. Yahweh redeems. So in his very name is why he comes. God saves. God redeems. And when the days for their purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, another thing is happening here that creates some symbolism for us. We know the sacrifice that Mary needs to bring to finish her ritual of purification and to be made clean and declared clean by the priest after giving birth to a child. But there's also an offering that is made when a firstborn son is dedicated to the Lord, and that is a financial gift or a gift of money that then is redeeming the child back to the parents. And here again, we have this symbolism of them redeeming the Redeemer, the one who will redeem all of us. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought us, I'm going to stop there. Did anybody know who the main character is in these last few verses? Yeah, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's named more than anybody right there. Three times we hear the Holy Spirit named. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, that redemption, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Israel. May God bless this reading of his holy word. Let me ask you a question. What is your greatest desire? What is your greatest desire? What do you desire more than anything in this life? Something that would cause you to say, once it happened, that you could die happy without living another single day. That's where we find Simeon and Anna. They have been waiting for the consolation of Israel for what must have been a very long time. Tradition says that Simeon might have been as old as 115 or something like that. We don't really know how old he is. We know Anna's old because we know it tells us how old she is. And you know what else it tells us? She has been spending, if she got married at the average age for a woman in those days, at 12 or 13, okay, and then was married for 7 years before her husband died, so 20. So from 20 or maybe 19 to 84, she has been worshiping and praying and fasting in the temple every single day. For 65, 66, 67 years of her life, for three-fourths of her life, how many of us have spent three? I know a lot of you come here a lot to do a lot of things, but how many of us spend three-quarters of our life right here? My office is here, and I don't think I spend three-quarters of my life here. What does that say about Anna? What is her heart's desire? I wonder, in all of this time of waiting, if either of them began to wonder if it was kind of a waste of time to just keep on hoping. I wonder if in all this waiting, if either of them began to think, you know, it might be better to hope for something maybe a little more manageable than the consolation of a whole people, of a whole world. Let's start praying for something a little bit easier. The more I think about it, I think they probably didn't do that. Their devotion shows where their heart truly was. But when I ask that question, it makes me wonder what I would do. After all, I asked the question. If it came up without all the time in worship and fasting and praying, how easily would it have come up in the midst of that? What about you? You think you might ask that same question? But then that makes me wonder, does it get easier to hope for the renewal of a single congregation? Maybe the First Church of the Brethren of Peoria. Than it does to hope for the reconciliation of an entire neighborhood? Or how about an entire city? Or even a nation? But thankfully, their hopes and dreams never got smaller than God's hopes and dreams. And because they never got smaller, they saw the fulfillment of that promise. I wonder if the reason that we sometimes fail to see the fulfillment of God's promises is because we lose our patience and start dreaming smaller dreams. We start dreaming other dreams. All the while that Anna and Simeon were waiting, were worshiping, were fasting and praying, we need to remember that God was still working. See, when we think nothing's happening, God is still working. And God is still moving towards that perfect timing that He creates. So sometimes when we can't see what is happening, or we can't feel what is happening, or we can't know because of our need for control, we can't know what's happening, we start to give up and we forget that God is still acting. God is still working. Think about this. Do Simeon and Anna know 10.5 months before this that Mary is visited by Gabriel? What if right about the time that happened, they said, I give up? And God's putting the final plans in place so that they can see the revelation of God. Maybe you're going through something right now and you don't know how God is working in that. That doesn't mean that because we don't know or we can't see or we can't understand that God is being inactive. God is doing His will and at the appropriate time reveals to us that which will overwhelm us by His glory. You know, they didn't know that the angel visited Mary. They didn't know that the angel had visited Joseph. They didn't know what was going on with Zechariah. I don't know. Well, they might have known what was going on with Zechariah because they were probably there. But they didn't really know what was going on because he couldn't say anything. Remember what it said in that story? People knew something happened, but they didn't know what it was. But they knew the promise. They knew the promise that God would send the Messiah, that God would send the Redeemer. And so, all the while that they were waiting and worshiping and fasting and praying, God was working. God was preparing the way. God was preparing the world. And at the right time, they were overwhelmed. At the right time, this world will be overwhelmed. Are you ready to be overwhelmed at any moment? Jesus tells us we don't know when that moment will be. But like Simeon and Anna, our call is to continue to love God, to worship, to pray, to fast, to love, to serve. And we continue to do those things, even though we don't know exactly where it's all going to lead or how it's going to get there, but we know ultimately where it's going to lead, that we will be overwhelmed by the glory of God because of Christ. Are you ready to be overwhelmed? Not just that God can take care of us as a congregation, I know there's an article coming out in the newsletter, but I'll give you the sneak peek that, folks, we ended the year where we needed to financially. That's overwhelming. Based on where we thought we'd be in September. But are we going to be overwhelmed by that and stop and say, look what God did for us? Or are we ready to be overwhelmed by what God can do in this city? Was that just a taste so that we can see what God can do? And that we can trust Him for all of His promises, not just to take care of us here, but to reveal Himself to this whole city through us. Are you ready to be overwhelmed like that? Simeon and Anna were. But to do that, they had to stay focused on God's promise. That promise of reconciliation and salvation. They had to live into that promise for a lifetime before they ever saw it come to fruition. And even then, they only saw the beginning of that promise come to fruition. It doesn't say anything about whether they lived long enough to see Jesus die on a cross. It doesn't say anything about whether they lived long enough to see Him rise from the grave or the beginning of His church. They never gave up hope. How did they do that? I don't know about you, but I don't have that within me to do that of my own nature. How did it say that Simeon did all of this? He was filled with the Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit filled him. The Spirit led him to the temple that day. The Spirit was what spoke to him the promise that he would see the salvation of Israel before he died. Folks, I love that we put a lot of effort into things, and that's good. And I thank each and every one of you for that effort. But we don't do it by human effort. We do it by the Holy Spirit empowering us. And that's where the glory goes to God for everything that gets done here. How did Simeon and Anna do this? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we could say it was by obedience that Anna went out and shared the gospel. But I don't think Jesus at 40 days old was telling her, go into all the nations and preach. She did it by the power of the Holy Spirit, and she did it because she was overwhelmed. You tell me that when you're overwhelmed, you don't go tell everybody about it, right? She was overwhelmed and she could not contain it within herself. Think about this. She's been waiting 60 plus years to see this promise fulfilled. And now she has seen it. What would you do? You'd scream it from the mountaintops, right? The power of the Holy Spirit is the one who gives the promise. The power of the Holy Spirit is the one who enables us. The power of the Holy Spirit is how we live into being overwhelmed. So let me ask you another question. Because it says that Simeon came into the temple in the Spirit. How many of us came into worship this morning in the Spirit? I'm not saying that to hammer everybody, but just to make us think. How many of us come into our time of worship devoted to nothing more than worshiping and hearing a word from God? I'll be honest, there's a lot of days when I come worrying about a lot of stupid stuff when I should be trusting God to take care of all that. And be ready to worship and praise and hear from our Lord. And I know I'm weirder than most people, but I don't think I'm so much weirder that I'm the only one that does that. And then I do that and I wonder, why wasn't I overwhelmed by God today? And you know what? It's not anybody else's fault that I wasn't overwhelmed by God that day. It's my own fault because I didn't come with a heart in the Spirit. Simeon came to worship in the Spirit. And God revealed himself. And Simeon was overwhelmed. Anna came fasting and praying. God revealed himself. And Anna was overwhelmed. So overwhelmed that she couldn't stop telling people about it. Have you ever been so overwhelmed by God that you couldn't stop telling everyone what happened? Mary was overwhelmed by God's call. John the Baptist was overwhelmed by God's coming. Zechariah was overwhelmed by God's power and then by God's mercy. The angels and the shepherds were overwhelmed by God's appearing. Simeon and Anna were overwhelmed by God's promise fulfilled. The common thread that runs through all of these stories is that they were all overwhelmed, and they were overwhelmed to be part of the story of God's salvation. That shows up in every one of these stories. Mary, you will have a son that will save the world. Zechariah, you will have a son that will usher in the Savior of the world. John, you will see the Savior of the world. The angels and the shepherds, glory to God, for he has brought us the Savior of the world. And Simeon and Anna, because they are overwhelmed, because they have seen the Savior of the world. Not just a Savior for Israel. For Simeon even says in his song, a Savior to the Gentiles and a Savior to God's people Israel. Salvation is the one thing that each one had in that promise. That they would be a part of God's story of bringing reconciliation to the world through Jesus the Christ. So I leave you with this question. How is God going to overwhelm you as part of his story for the world? Amen. Let's pray.
I feel empowered.
Amen.
I have a song to share with you right now.
Okay.
Can I come up?
Yes. Use the mic. You want to do it from here, or you want to do it from the mic? Okay.
I don't have the music to play, but I have it in my head.
And that means it's in your heart, brother.
Yeah. It's called Simeon's Song, written by Michael Card. And I was fine sitting back there. But here we go. I have the words on my phone. Another miracle. An old man in the temple, waiting in the court, waiting for the answer to a promise. And all at once he sees them,
In the morning sunshine, a couple come and carry in a baby. Now that I have held him in my arms, my life can come to an end. Let your servant now depart in peace, 'cause I've seen your salvation. He's the light of the Gentiles, and the glory of his people Israel. Ooh. I may have to pitch it lower. Mary and the baby come, and in her hand she holds 5 shekels, the price to redeem her baby. The baby softly cooing, nestled in her arms. Simeon takes the boy and starts to sing. I'm getting it mixed up here.
It's okay.
Now that I have held him in my arms, my life can come to an end. Let your servant now depart in peace, 'cause I've seen your salvation. He's the light of the Gentiles, and the glory of his people Israel. Ooh. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Brothers and sisters, live into the Holy Spirit and be overwhelmed. Go in peace.